I'd just like to say good afternoon to everyone and thank you in the precious name of Jesus. We just would want to, first of all, we'd want to say thank you for all the effort that was put towards the meetings here. As I looked around, I see there's a great deal of effort put into food and the tents and the lights and all the wiring and just all the little things that are done. May the Lord bless you in that, the ones that helped. My name is Ben Graber, and Amy, my wife, and our children. Matthew's the oldest here, and Deborah's our second born, and we have Keturah, and Delilah, Joy, and I should be saying their middle names there, and we got Christina down here, and we have a baby, her name is Gloria. I'm not sure where she's at, but someone has it out there. So at this time, we would just like to share a little bit, maybe that it would just, something that would be of value to helping those in need, and all honor and glory would be to our Lord and Master. We just a real brief testimony on Amy and I. We both we met when Amy was, I think she was only 16 and I was maybe 21. And we suffered from many of the same mistakes that you heard from other testimonies, immoral courtship and many of those things. And we did have a desire to do God's will. But it seemed like it was just darkness wherever we looked, so we found our way as we the first four children were born. We tried to be good in the church where we was at and try to do things. I think a lot of times I had a lot of self-righteousness, and we went through a lot of those things where many of you, I'm sure, know what I'm talking about. Thinking I was maybe a little better Amishman than my neighbor. And I had a dislike for sin in a lot of ways. I knew that some of the first things that were brought to my attention were just some of the things that I had scars from. It was the immoral courtships and the immoral situation. A lot of the things that were going on with alcohol and drugs and a lot of those things. So I did have. It seemed like long before I was converted, those things really stuck out. And I should probably ask for forgiveness for some of the people I talked to back then. I wasn't very gracious. It was kind of like the law without grace, and so that took its toll in our lives. And as we were seeking, there were others seeking in our area. And they were excommunicated from the church that we went to. And I just thought, I knew that wasn't right. And during that time, my wife had an accident, and it really opened our eyes to I think one of the brothers shared last night about dying without knowing the Lord. One of the saddest times of my life was during that time when at the hospital, my wife asked me if we can know that we're saved. There's been a lot of talk in the community about the people that have a new belief and believe that they're saved. And so we was like, we just kind of played the back seat in a lot of those areas, and we're just kind of looking and waiting and watching. And during this accident, my wife asked me, can we really know that we're saved? She wanted to know. What she should expect if she died. And at that point in my life, I had to tell her, I don't know. We looked each other in the eye and we thought, If God grants us life and if everything's okay, that we would find out. So that kind of brings us up with where we're at today. And we're thankful. And we thank the Lord for that. One of the things that we thought we'd touch just a little bit on was the involvement we had with diviners or witch doctors, or there's several different ways to bring that out, I suppose. But I always knew in the Bible that it does say that they're, one of the gifts is healing. But it always seemed like the people that were doing the healing were ungodly people. People that used bad language, told dirty stories, allowed fornication in their homes, smoked, chewed, and all those things. And I knew that if God would have someone, that he would really be a faith healer, that he would be a godly man. Just something that I knew that's the way it would be. So I, some of the brethren here had given me some books. And my wife's uncle was actually one of the greatest diviners that still lives today. And many of you know him. He has been around the country and has done a lot of things. And today he is wishing he could die. He's not very healthy, and so it's right direct involvement. And I was dating my wife the first time I went down there and to see him in Vive, Indiana. And at that time I was just kind of expecting a very clean man that would be godly in at least an outward appearance. And of course I didn't know anything about an inward godliness at that time. But I was just really shocked when I met him. And I just want to be sure that this is in honor and glory of God, I guess. But those are some of the things I worked through. And my wife I would want her to share just a little bit on the experience she had with, she grew up with this fear of just evil spirits, a lot of superstitions, and I don't know how many of you know about those things, but they're very rampant among the plain people. Superstitions, things like just ridiculous things. Many things that you plant your corn certain days and you don't clean your barns between Christmas and New Year's, and just the list goes on. It's a weapon from Satan because it causes fear, even from young children. And we know that fear is the fearful will be cast into the lake of fire. So we praise the Lord for that. One more thing I'd like to say before I have Amy share was that when I first met her, she had butter knives stuck above her window and above her doors in her room. And that was kind of a new experience for me. I knew a little bit about those things, but I walked in her house and they had butter knives stuck up above the doors to keep the evil spirits out. So just to give you an idea of what we've delivered from, and just praise the Lord for that. I'll have Amy share just a couple words on that and the experience she had. I know we shared this one time before. And there was a young man that was kind of delivered, or kind of a lot of his eyes were opened to what was going on. So if it could be of somehow help someone, that would be our desire. And at this time, I'll just let her share that.
I greet you all in the name of Jesus. This has been a very special couple of days here in Pennsylvania, and I just want to take the time to thank all of you that put an effort into making this all work with the food and the tent and many things. And I just trust that the Lord can have all the honor and glory for it, and that everybody here was richly fed from his table. On the behalf of what Ben was sharing, it's kind of something that's hard for me to share, because I fully, in the depth, don't understand it all, because I know that it was from the devil, and that it was one of his powers that he had over me. And for sure, where it started and all that, I don't know, but I grew up in a tremendous fear in my life, and didn't know really why. We went to a lot of herb doctors, witch doctors, and not realizing the power that had over me, and knowing that it was evil, I thought it was from God, and we went and we would be healed almost every time for what we went for. And I know the devil has a mighty work about him, but our Lord and Savior is almighty. And I would fear every night of going up the steps to my room upstairs, because I was afraid of dark, because I would lie down in bed and I could almost know that as I was ready to fall asleep that a feeling would come over me, and I couldn't get away from it. I would like try to move or try to get up, and by that time it was over. I couldn't move. My body was locked up, and I would see images in front of me, and they were evil. And this went on for many years in my life, and I was going to a homeopathic doctor when I was about 13 or 14, and this really scared me. I was held like this one night, and her figure came in front of me as I was lying there, and I was held. I couldn't see her face, but I saw her often enough that I knew that it was the image of her from neck on down, and that just terrified me. And I shared this with my family, but they didn't really believe me, because she was so nice and she spoke of the Lord. But I never had a good feeling going to her office again, even though I did several times after that. But I grew up with this fear and the power from the devil over me. And I was told that if I would cuss at this thing that would go over me, it would leave. But I never done that, because I knew that wasn't right, even though I was carnal and not a child of God. I knew that cussing I would never do. And I didn't. And my mom told me that if I would just fold my hands in prayer, that it would leave. And I'd done that, and it worked. And then I was told that if I would put knives above my doorway and windows, that it couldn't come to me. And I've done that, and that worked, but for a short time, because it seemed like after I didn't put my faith in them knives fully, why, it came back to me again. Everything I tried, it would leave for some time, and it would be back. But I just praise the Lord that when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus, that it never once came back. And I don't know where the whole, it's like I said, it's just a hard thing to talk about, because I don't understand it myself. But one thing I do understand, that I was lost and now I'm found. And I'm free before God. My conversion really came after we stepped out of the old order, and Ben went to a brother's meeting and brought his dirty part of his life out one night that I wasn't there, and he came home and he shared his bucket full of filth to me, and I wasn't very receptive to hear what he had to tell me, and my heart was really, really hard, and I turned angry, and he asked me if I have anything that I'd like to share, and I told him that I wouldn't have anything like that to say, but deep down I knew I did, and it went some time. I just, more I read the Bible and more I saw that I am really a lost sinner, a lost soul, and one verse that was really spoke to me at that time was in 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I would just pray that, Lord, help me to bring this forth and to share with Ben and really truly believe on your saving power of Jesus Christ. And I just lived in a lot of doubt, but he did bring it forth, and it was a special time of our life that we could draw together and our marriage has never been the same since that evening, that we could just share and really truly know one another from a depth that we never thought we would. I just wanted to share over the time of after we was converted and sought the Lord for baptism, and I struggled with that for some time. I had my dear mother, she's so special to me. She hated to see this happen because she just kept saying, you were baptized once. And then I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't seek on baptism. And then I just, like, something spoke to me, seek the Lord on it. Don't go on what brothers and sisters are doing in the church just because they sought to be rightly baptized. Maybe it's not for you. Maybe you were rightly baptized. And the Lord spoke to me in Ephesians 4. I was just reading, and it says, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in the hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. And at first I thought, yeah, that's what Mom said. It's one faith and one Lord and one baptism. I was baptized. But when I really seek the Lord on it, I knew that I didn't have the faith when I was so-called baptized. And I just encourage, as an encouragement, I say this, to really truly seek the Lord in all things in our life, and I seek that for myself and the steps ahead of me in my life, that I just truly want to seek the Lord and not go on what anyone says, but what God tells me. I just... thank you once again, all the brothers and sisters here. I look across this crowd and I get an overwhelmed feeling to think that all of us could live in heaven one day if we truly believe and trust in the Lord Jesus. God bless you.
We have a song we'd like to share, kind of an answer of what we... We like to make a noise, so we'll do. The Lord gave us a voice, and we just let him be praised. When I look at you, I realize the little that I know. When I look at you, I realize how far cannot conceive the thought of why you love me so. When I'm so far from what you are, and I seem to move so slow. You didn't have to love me, but you did. You didn't have to heal me, but you did. You didn't have to die on Calvary.
But you did, you didn't have to save me, but you did. Or send your spirit to sway me, but you did. You didn't have to love me, save me, heal me, but you did. When others look at me, I hope they'll see every flash and bear of you. When others look at me, I hope that they will want to know you too. For if they can't see your love in me, then I failed in what I do. Though I'm so far from what you are and becoming more like you. You didn't have to love me, but you did. You didn't have to heal me, but you did. You didn't have to die on Calvary for me, but you did. But you did. You didn't have to save me, but you did. Or send your spirit to save me, but you did. You didn't have to love me, save me, heal me, but you did.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.